In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Our text, our epistle reading, 1 Peter chapter 1. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a long time ago, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 became a very foundational and important text to me. There, St. Paul describes the Gentiles' idolatry. He says this, even though they had known God, they did not glorify God and they did not praise Him and give Him thanks. In other words, a very ancient, a very primitive, a very foundational sin is a failure to thank God and to glorify Him for who He is and what He does. Now, in the season of green, in the season of Pentecost, then, one of our collect prayers reads like this, Almighty God, give us the Holy Spirit so that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us and give thanks for all your benefits. So it is good and it is right and it is salutary that we as God's children ought to acknowledge his goodness and give thanks to God. So then I want you to notice how 1 Peter chapter 1 begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter begins with this declaration, and it's sort of two things here at once. First, it's Peter's own faith in the face of suffering and persecution, and yet he blesses God in the midst of that for all that God the Father has done for him in the Lord Jesus Christ. But second, and here's our real focus today, this reading for us serves as an invitation by God's powerful working. It elicits in us the same response of thanksgiving and praise in you, in me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how does that text do that for us this day? Three different ways. Three things here. First, what God has done. Second, what God will do. And third, what God is doing right now. First, what God has done. Peter wastes no time, man. He gets right to it. God the Father has caused you to be born again. This truth, which we all know as Christians and which we all confess, is actually supposed to produce in us the blessings and praise and honor and glory and thanksgivings of God. So why wouldn't it? Why are there so many times in our daily existence, and let's be honest here, why are there so very many times in our daily existence, so many long stretches without much thanksgiving and praise? Without much blessing over the fact that God has caused us to be born again. Now, I suppose there are many reasons, more than the number of people that are gathered here today. But I would like to say that one thing is true for all of us, and that's this. Oftentimes we think of our lives as we are running the show. We live as masters of our own fates. We live as we are our own. We plan, we work, we desire, we plot, we even pray. But in the end, it's really just about me. And we know, of course we know, that God has given us new life in Christ. He has caused us to be born not just once, first from your mother's womb, yes, but born a second time. Born of the living Word of God. But when you and I see and we spend time acting as if all of my plans are what matter for my life and what I think about my life, the important things that I think should happen, as if the agenda that you have is so crucial that you can't let it go no matter what, now we act as though we are responsible, like we're the ones in charge. as if my existence and my life is my own. But it's not. It's not at all. I'm not at all. And it's not. You are not at all. Peter says in the last chapter of 1 Peter that we are all like grass. Now that sounds nice, of course, when spring is around the corner and you see a little bit of green and you get toward the 70 degrees, right? But what about in the 6 months of winter in North Dakota when that clock ticks again? What does the grass look like then? Peter says we are all like grass. Grass withers and flowers fade. So then, you see them 1 minute and you turn around the next and where are they? They are dead and they are dry and they are gone. That's where my power gets me. That's where your plans and your wisdom can lead you. But you're not nothing. Guys, you're not nothing. You are not dead. We are alive. Why? Because God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has actually caused something to occur in our lives. Caused us to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. And because of him, we now live. Now, what does that mean that you now live? What does it mean that you are born anew and you have become alive when you were once dead? I want you to think about this for just a minute. When you are dead, you cannot receive anything. You cannot respond to anything. You're dead. And when we are dead, before God makes us alive then, we cannot respond to anything of God's gifts. His forgiveness, his acceptance, his love, his peace, his joy, his purpose, his plan for your life and for the lives of others. None of these gifts belong to us. And if you're dead, you can't receive anything. But you are not dead anymore, Peter says. God has caused you to be born again. Jesus rose to life again. And you belong to him. You are baptized into his name. You are joined to Jesus. He brought you out of the grave with him. You are now alive to God. He has caused you to be born again. That is what God has done for us. And that brings about a response in our lives of praise to God. Point number one, what God has done. Point two is what God will do. As my son David used to say when he was still around and he would get the extra stuff, I get the lion's share. This is really the lion's share of our text for today. What God will do. What God has in store for those who are made alive in Christ. Peter writes, you are born again into something. And then notice, he doesn't just give you one something, he gives you three somethings. Three times, he says, unto a living hope, unto an indestructible and a perfect inheritance, unto a final and full and free salvation that is waiting to be revealed at the last time. So this is actually your reality. God has a plan, a big one. He's the creator, for crying out loud. And this world still belongs to him, even though it is marred and terribly scarred and disfigured by sin. It's still God's world, and it's still his plan in that world, and it all works toward the same good. It works to the goal of God, to those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. That goal, it works toward that time, toward that day when our Lord returns and he is revealed fully and publicly and freely. On that day, what God has made will be restored by God himself. Sin? Envy? Failure to give thanks? Gone. Fear, illness, anxiety, pain, suffering, death, gone. dying bodies, those who stand over graves and mourn, no more. Wholeness and beauty and wonder and truth, always, forever. That's God's promise. That's your inheritance as a son of God through faith. It belongs to each and every one of you. You have a place. You have a future at God's side. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be our God and Father for what he has done and what he will do. For that we praise him. And also for what he is doing right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. During a time of temptation, during a time of stumbling and standing, during a time of striving and losing and winning just a little bit, a time of sinning and forgiveness, a time of fear and courage, a time of life and death. Right now, what is God doing right now when things fall so short? When things seem far less and far worse than what God desires or even that we desire of our lives to be. What's God doing right now? He is guarding you and he is keeping you until that final day. Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. And blessed are you who struggle and strive against your sin and sorrow and fight and seem to get nowhere. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who desire peace, the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, even now today. What is God doing here and now? He is guarding and he is keeping you in the face of your sin. He is holding you in the palm of his righteous right hands, even when you can't see it, even in the midst of suffering, even when you feel like God is nowhere to be seen. He holds you and he says to you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. When you cannot stand, I will stand you up and I will guard you and keep you in the one true faith. When you struggle against your sin, I will be there to say to you, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When your life feels like it's crumbling and you cannot catch a breath, either in illness or some financial ruin or something, I will be your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you even when you cannot see how this will work for my glory in the end. I will be with you and you have nothing to fear. Even at the graveside, I am your God. Death cannot end your gladness. You are a son of God through faith. And if a son, then an heir of all things. So yeah, what's God doing right now? In a time of temptation, in a time of stumbling, in a time of standing, in a time of sinning and forgiving, in a time of comfort and courage, he is keeping you as you are being tried and tested in your faith. He is helping you to stand, and that testing that you endure, that suffering that you endure, will not be forgotten by your God, because he doesn't forget his people. The struggles that you and I experience in the name of Jesus will not be forgotten. God will remember them. He will remember you on the last day when he makes all things known according to his plan. And when it is known, when your suffering is known by all, and you know each other's suffering, and it is known that you were kept, that you did not shrink back, that you did not give up, that you did not lose heart, that you did not say Christianity and that God is not real. When you are standing before him on the last day and your faithfulness is known to all, then God's honor and his glory and his praise will increase evermore in Jesus Christ. As you stand with those in this life with you who have come out of that great tribulation, who have moaned before you and who have died before you, you shall stand and the endless praises of God shall resound. Salvation belongs to our God truly, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Blessing and honor and glory and thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever on that great day when he returns and he is revealed in glory. We think this life is about ourselves. It's not. This life does not belong to you. It's not yours. Our lives are a gift of God. Our lives are about, then, a God who is so gracious that you can't ever fully grasp his mercy. He has made you alive. He is keeping you now. And he will bring you to himself on that great day. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.